Words for Life is a recent talk by Pastor Jonathan Miller of Eastleigh Community Church in East Bentley, here in Melbourne.
So a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we looked a little bit at the Holy Spirit himself and how he works. And we found that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not exactly what we expected. It turns out the fruit of the Holy Spirit is godly characteristics that are produced in us. It's godly characteristics that are produced in us by God, and that our main role in the whole story is simply staying connected to him, staying connected to the vine. And we learnt that, in fact, we are not the fruit. We are the trees that produce the fruit, and we produce the fruit not for ourselves, we produce the fruit for each other. And that God's idea is that we would be an amazing orchard, and that we would, through our fruit, nourish each other with all different kinds of fruit, which was really nice and kind of a downer in some ways as well, because, I mean, you know, it's nice providing fruit for everyone, but what's in it for me, right? What's in it for us? So it's with great eagerness that we head into today's sermon, as promised, and today we're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because, I mean, gifts, right? They must be for us. Gifts, for sure, of course. Well, let's check and see, right? So I think the best place to start is to head into 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. I think I have to do that. Yes, I do. All right. So, there are different kinds of fruit, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So, spiritual gifts are manifestations of God's Spirit. That is, God's Spirit changing in a way from spirit into the physical. And that happens in us. It's God's Spirit showing up in us. That's what the fruit are. Sorry, that's what the gifts are. That's what the gifts are. Unlike the fruit, however, they can occur, and generally do occur, instantly. We may even be born with them. Whereas the fruit happens over time. And they manifest inside our bodies, inside our hearts, inside our minds. And that's not to say they can't actually be developed over time through use, but they occur instantly. But the strange thing is, even though they occur inside of us, once again, they're not actually for us. Sorry about that. They are given for the common good. We just read that. They're given for everyone else. But similar to fruit, the effects of the gifts of the Spirit, the effects of the gifts of the Spirit are to make us nicer people. They make us easier to get along with. They're also there to encourage others. They're there to grow with others. They're there to improve the lives of others. They're there to speak to others on behalf of God. There's only really one of the gifts that I can think of that's probably for the person manifesting alone. And that's actually the gift of tongues. At least that is when there's no one there to interpret the tongues. Have you ever woken up on your birthday hoping for a Meccano set and ended up with socks and undies? You see, the gift that we get is not up to us. Ultimately, the gifts that we get, it's up to the one that's giving the gifts. There might be a particular spiritual gift that we want, but it's God that decides what spirit to give. It's not up to what we want. It's what he thinks, not even that we need. It's up to what he thinks he needs to place in us for those around us that will be the beneficiaries of the gift. So it seems like it's a good time to actually start to have a look at what the actual gifts are. So we're going to have a look at a couple of lists. Now, again, as I said, when it comes to the list of the fruit, I think that these lists are indicative. They're not exhaustive. They give an idea of the kinds of gifts that God gives, so we get the feeling for it, but that's not to say that these are the only gifts that God can give. But let's have a look at these lists. This is Romans 12, 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, like Nick, Barnabas Nick, who is our great encourager, then give encouragement and give it generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Okay, and now another list. This is 1 Corinthians 12:8 to 10. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking different kinds of tongues, and still another interpretation of tongues. So, they're the main lists that we find. So I've put them all together onto a single page, and we'll go through them again. So we put it all together, we get prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy, messages of wisdom, messages of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, helping, interpreting tongues, and guidance. Not necessarily in that order. So there's lots of fun stuff there, lots of good stuff. And it's easy to see, when you think about these gifts, why it is that they're actually given for the common good. We want people around us to have these gifts. If the people around us have these gifts and are exercising these gifts, we get the benefit. And that is a huge key, the exercising of the gifts. It's one thing to have a gift, it's another thing to use the gift. So, lots of cool things on the list. Some things maybe seem a lot cooler than the other things, but in 1 Corinthians 12, a little bit further on, Paul's really clear that we shouldn't actually boast about any particular gift that we've got. We're all parts of the one body. We know this, and they're all necessary and helpful. So let's just look at this. So this is 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 26. We've probably seen it before, but it's a great verse. So let's look at it again. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Whilst our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. So miracles or healing, they are of no greater importance as far as God is concerned than things like guiding or helping or teaching. God's just chosen to give different gifts to different people. What is certain is that God definitely gives gifts to everyone, at least to everyone that has the Holy Spirit inside of them. And now, when I say gifts on purpose. God doesn't give a gift. It's not like, well, that's my gift. We often talk about that as well, this is my gift. But God gives gifts, multiple gifts. I really believe this. So rather than saying this is my gift, we should say this is my gift mix, or this is my gift basket, if you like. This is most likely that you've got one or two of these gifts in great abundance, and you might have another few, kind of a little bit less. And then there might be something like, that's just not my gift at all. That's not, I haven't been given that, and that's okay. Now, there's probably one of these particular gifts that is the hardest gift to receive. It's one that seems to be coveted, but it's probably really the hardest one to actually have to deal with having it, and it's prophecy. Just think about Jeremiah in the Bible. He was held in prison. He was thrown into a pit just amongst a few things that happened to him. Here is a snippet of Jeremiah, how he felt about having this particular gift of prophecy, which will just go to show that the gifts are really not for us. The gifts are given because God wants us to have them for the people around. See, this is from Jeremiah 20, some just snippets. Between 8 and 18. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. Yeah, I want that gift, right? But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more of in his name, his word is in me, in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. That's his friends. Imagine his enemies. Cursed be the day I was born, he says. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? So, prophecy might not be the gift you're looking for, but it might be as well. And in the end, it's really not up to you. It's not up to you to decide what gift. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray for a particular gift and God won't give it. He may well. But keep in mind that the gifts that you're receiving are not to bring you glory, they're to bring God glory, and they're for the common good. Some people believe that these spiritual gifts, that this list was only given to the first apostles, that it's no longer available now. But this list was actually written by Paul to the churches in Corinth, in Rome. Some people think that they were these gifts were only for people that were in the presence of Jesus. But these people in these churches in Corinth and Rome, they had never seen Jesus. There was certainly nothing special about these believers. So I think it would be very strange indeed to assume that the gifts were only given to people for the first 50 or 100 years perhaps after Jesus, and then God just decided without warning that, oh, the church doesn't need those gifts any longer. I mean, seriously, that's just nonsense. So we should assume that whatever the gifts that we see in the Bible plus others are still available to us today. But as with all gifts, even salvation, I've spoken about this in the past, these gifts are only yours if you actually take them on board. The face of Christianity around the world is changing rapidly these days. Across the board, around the world, traditional churches are shrinking. They are slowly dying. Some of them are dying quite fast, in fact. Around the world, there is one particular movement within Christianity that is growing, and that is the Pentecostal movement. In fact, they say that it is the fastest growing religion in the world. If Christianity is the fastest growing religion in the world, it's because of the Pentecostal movement. The point is that the growth in Christianity is in the Pentecostal movement. And my point is, traditional churches tend or have tended to squash spiritual gifts, particularly the more supernatural of the spiritual gifts. I mean, that, you know, it's okay to perhaps have healing or service or teaching, giving. Giving's always been an okay one. If that's your gift, we're okay with that one, right? but things like prophesying or speaking in tongues, they for some reason, have really been treated with skepticism in the traditional churches. Whereas Pentecostal churches tend to embrace, encourage, teach, release these gifts in their communities. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think the Holy Spirit, I think God is involved in this process. I think there is a reason why the churches that embrace the Spirit of God are flourishing and those that ignore him are not. And I think the bottom line for us as a church is that it would be at best foolhardy for us to ignore the gifts of the Spirit. Evidence that we see definitely supports the idea that God is blessing the churches or the movements that are embracing, encouraging, and teaching and operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and not just the tame gifts like giving. So we at Eastleigh here, we come from a great tradition. We come from the Brethren tradition. And the Brethren tradition has many things to be proud of within Christianity and certainly within Australia and particularly within Victoria. The Brethren movement has some great things to be proud of, and especially Eastleigh has some great things to be proud of. As a movement, particularly as the Brethren movement has kind of morphed into the Christian Community Church movement, really the movement has come an extraordinarily long way. If you think of even the early days of this church, of when it was Brethren to where it is now, it's a massive movement and it's fantastic and it's impressive. But there's still a long way to go, I feel. And I believe if we want to grow as a church, there are three key areas that we need to focus on. That's discipleship, it's outreach, and it's spiritual growth. As I've said in the past, true disciples of Jesus are people that make disciples. If you're not making disciples, then you're a follower. You're not really a disciple. One of the key tools in discipleship is outreach. That's about being relevant in our communities. And one of the things that's really important in being relevant in our communities is actually the fact that we can use our spiritual gifts. It's what separates us from the bowls club or the bridge club or whatever. The church club is a club that operates with spiritual gifts. If we're not, we might as well just be a bowls club. It's what God has given us to make us special, to make us attractive, to grow his kingdom. So when I say spiritual growth, I'm not talking about reading the Bible or praying more. I mean, yes, read the Bible and pray more. I'm not saying don't do that. It's not what I mean. I mean, specifically, we need to grow in the use of our spiritual gifts. So we all have muscles, yeah? But if we just sat around all day, our muscles will atrophy. They're going to shrivel up. They're going to be useless. And I actually think with most of us, that's kind of been happening to our spiritual muscles. So at the very least, we need to kind of get up and walk around every now and again in our spiritual gifts. We need to get around and do a little spiritual exercise. Start with small steps, bit by bit. And then start hitting the spiritual gym. And let's turn into spiritual athletes. Let's act as though we are in the spiritual Olympics. How's that for relevant? Now, I know that some of the things on that list, some of the spiritual gifts, are kind of weird. And they're kind of scary. And I realised that for us, and when I say us, I mean us as individuals, it actually takes some courage to exercise some of those spiritual gifts that we've been given. It takes some risk to be prepared to be active within those spiritual gifts. But I want you to think back about 2.5 years ago when you invited me to be the pastor here. Taking me on, whether you knew it or not at the time, was actually quite a risk. I had some very radical ideas that that perhaps some people weren't quite ready for or perhaps weren't quite expecting. But you allowed me to do what I wanted to do, pretty much. You allowed me to challenge you and to do some things that probably were a bit scary. But I believe, frankly, that was it was pretty easy for Eastley to do at the time, because there's kind of nothing to lose at the time, wasn't there? Because the alternative was just simply closing the doors. And I'd hate to think that we've become so comfortable and confident in ourselves that we no longer feel like we've got nothing to lose. Okay, our weekly numbers might be up by 5 or 10, perhaps, but there are literally tens of thousands of people on our doorsteps that we have to lose. So when you buy a gift, or let's say even when you make a gift for someone, what's the one thing that's really important for you when you're thinking about what am I going to get this person? What am I going to do for this person? What am I going to make for this person? What is it? Are they going to use it? Is this gift going to be helpful for them? Are they actually going to make use of the thing, or is it just going to sit on the shelf? The thing we don't want is that whatever we've built or bought for them is that it just ends up on the shelf. I think God is the same. And surely I think that God would be grieved to think that he's given us gifts and that we just leave them on the shelf and never use them. So, we need to look at ourselves a little bit. And I don't mean that in a harsh way. I mean, this is an opportunity. And I mean, literally, right now, I want us to start to look at ourselves, to consider what our spiritual gifts are. Words for